Good morning, good morning. My name is Uchama, and this Sunday marks a transition for us. It is my transition from your Director of Compassion and Justice Ministries to just a River member who loves the Lord, who loves scripture, and loves learning with you. So this morning we're going to do one of my favorite methods of scripture engagement, which I actually learned in this community. I call it reading between the lines, but it has a lot of different names. It's sometimes called bibliodrama or reading the white text. And for those who are unfamiliar, I want to explain what it is. So it's a story-based tool for teaching the Bible to people of all ages, which is kind of exciting because we have all ages in the room. And story is the method by which we make sense of our experiences and understand others. It is the main way that we make sense of God through the narratives of Scripture. And the Bible is full of stories and invites us into the story, often from the perspective of various characters and storytellers. And while at times the thoughts and motivations and emotions of characters are written, at times they're not, and they're left to our imagination. Reading between the lines is a methodology of engaging scriptural stories that allows us to actually voice and to name those unwritten emotions, thoughts, and motives. It is a form of role-playing, and the roles can be major characters like Jesus or Simon Peter or John, or can be minor characters like Nathaniel or Thomas. It can be figures whose presence is just inferred from the text. So if you think back on the nativity story, there's an innkeeper, but we actually don't get that as a character. We infer that the innkeeper is there. It can be objects or images that are embodied or given voice or action. So you could have a character be the manger in that story or the hay on which Jesus laid. And in this form of role-playing, places can speak. So the Jordan River can speak. Animals may speak. I've always wanted to imagine what the fish that swallowed Jonah would have said. But it's a two-way street. Just as we examine the Word examines us. It's also a way to engage our emotions, our thoughts, our motives as we engage the scripture. It is a form of interpretive play, which is of Jewish midrash. So in the Jewish tradition, there's a deep reverence and respect for the words of scripture, the words on the page. And in the ancient world, a scroll was so, so incredibly expensive, so costly. But the respect for the written word is more than how costly it is to write words down. The word is the revelation of God. It's been given by God. And in addition to all of that, there's the commandment not to make any graven images. It meant that Judaism didn't develop a rich tradition of religious art as illustration. It's a response to that reverence. But nonetheless, the impulse to interpret, to imagine, to illustrate, to express still lived on, and it took place in the form of more words. And what began as an oral commentary on the Bible was gradually passed down into writings and formed into a body of sacred texts called the Midrash. So reading between the lines is a form of literary interpretation, a form of Midrash. And though written words are always slippery, capable of many meanings and contexts, scripture, the words of scripture, stands before us as given. They are canonized, they're fixed, they can't be changed. While they can be analyzed, they can be looked up in dictionaries, they can be understood in context, they cannot be altered. And this form of play does not alter scripture. There may be some of you that are breathing a sigh of relief at that, but what we will do is interpret the themes that are unwritten, perhaps the space around the words, the space even between the letters, the space between the lines. And I want to name that it's okay for us to read creatively between the lines, to offer up our own interpretations, our own understandings. And this is the creative space that Jesus is inviting us into this morning. All right, last quote. We may be delighted as well as surprised to discover that the Bible can retain its power as a sacred text, not just because its authority is never questioned, but because the questions it raises has the authority to lead us to some of the most important issues of our lives. I've experienced that, and I hope you experienced that this morning. So how does it work? I have a few do's and a few don'ts. So we will read the scripture together. We're going to engage with various roles in our passage. The facilitator, that's me. I'm going to ask questions for folks that want to respond. If you want to respond, you'll just stand up from your chair. And I have some people with mics who will come to bring you a mic to answer questions. What might that engagement look like? So here's some examples. I might say something like, I wonder what blank role would say to us if he or she were here. Is there anyone willing to speak as blank? And then someone stands up, a mic is brought to them. Tell us, blank, what is this time like for you? When we are done with our interaction, I'll say thank you to signify the end of role play. All right, so that's the magic words to be done. Thank you. Okay, so a few do's and don'ts. I do want you to focus on the scripture. It's going to be on the screen the entire time. Use I statements. Expect silence and pauses between responses. We're processing, we're thinking. Do change your mind as often as you want. That is totally okay. Speak in your normal voice. This is not like a play, you know, in the theater where you have to put on voice and costumes and all that. Speak in your normal voice. Don't expect consensus or agreement. Don't engage your inner theater critic. This is the season where people are doing career change, and if theater critic was always yours, just leave that behind. Don't hog the microphone, but also don't shy too much from the microphone. And we do have multiple generations, so my hope is that we can hear from every generation. All right, so those are instructions. We're gonna get ready for our interaction. I'm just gonna prepare this space, and I invite you, as we transition, to take a deep breath, to settle into your chair, to sell them to your time. Also, if you are the mic runners, would you come and grab the mics? The other ones are in the, you have yours already?
Yeah.
Thank you. Our text this morning is John 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." 6 water pots made of stone were sitting there, used for ceremonial cleansing by the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water that had been turned into wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who drew the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and after men have drunk freely, then the poor wine is served. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Good.
There are a lot of people at this wedding than I would have thought. Any wedding guest out there that wants to speak to us? Hello, wedding guest. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. How did you come to be here?
Well, I suppose the way anyone comes to any place, first by womb, then by travel.
Very fun, very fun. Are you aware that Jesus is at this wedding? Do you know anything
Who?
About Jesus? No? Okay, well, what makes a good wedding for you? What are you looking for in quality weddings?
Well, you know, bride and groom get married. That's kind of the main thing. And then there's a party afterward where, it kind of lasts a couple of days. And, we have our fill of whatever spirits and sumptuous foods are available.
Awesome. Thank you. Is there another wedding attendee that would love to talk to us? I see one right there. Stand on up so they can see you. Hi. Hi, wedding attendee.
Hello.
Hey, who are you here with?
I'm here with this guy.
Okay. I hope you know them. Is this your first wedding that you've ever attended?
No, I attended a wedding before. It was my wedding. I married her.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Is it as fun as yours was or more fun?
It's more fun because it has better cake.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Is the mother of Jesus here? I heard the mother of Jesus was in attendance. Is there a mother of Jesus that would like to talk to us? Stand on up. That's how we can see that we can see you.
Right.
The microphone's coming. Okay. Hello, Mother of Jesus. How are you?
I'm good, a little nervous.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. You seem to be quite in touch with all that's going on at this wedding.
That's what mothers do.
Apparently. In addition to noticing that they have no wine, what else are you noticing about this wedding?
Well, I'm noticing that my son is here, and he came with a whole bunch of his crew, and I'm not sure they were invited, but... But where he goes, they go. So it's kind of like it added a whole, there's some people standing back and looking at them like, you know, did they get invited? And are they going to drink all the wine? And so I'm a little anxious with that because I don't want anything to go wrong.
Yeah. You know, there.
I need to sit. Is that okay?
Yeah, please go ahead and sit.
I don't like being standing up like
this. Go ahead and sit. You know, he sort of launched from the nest from your house and started his ministry. How do you feel about him embarking?
Him embarking?
On his, like, ministry journey.
He has always kind of done what he's chosen to do. You know, when he was 12, he just ran away and went into the temple. We couldn't find him. So he's been on a plan. It's like we're important, but we're important to support him and to launch him. That's our job.
Good.
Thank you. Is there another Mother of Jesus here? Stand on up. Yep. Please stand so the mic people can see you. You can sit after that, but.
Hi, I was just working in the kitchen and I just wanted to share what I saw.
Yeah.
First of all, it was pretty hectic because we ran out of bread, but somehow there was a sack of flour in the corner. We made that work. But then Jesus came in with all his friends and the vibe just totally changed. It was super fun. And I think I want to follow him too.
Okay.
And first of all, his mom, she's kind of scary. She totally yelled at him, but in a good way. It came from love, and he knew he brings the party wherever he goes, clearly. And he brought it that day, and it was quite impressive. And the bread was really good, too.
Wonderful. Thank you. Is there another Mother of Jesus in the audience? I'd love to talk to you.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, Mother of Jesus. I know this might be a little bit of a cultural difference, but the way that he spoke to you, saying, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" It seemed a little odd to me. Is that normal?
Definitely not how I raised him. No, not using those kind of words with me.
Okay, what is your communication with your son Jesus normally like?
Well, I know he's special, but you know, God, the Holy Spirit told us that for sure, but he's still mine and should be doing what I tell him to do. Mm. So a little surprising that he's testing out the waters on his own now. But yes, normally it's an open communication. If I see an issue, I can tell him about it. I know he's here for a special purpose, and it makes sense to go ahead and start living out that special purpose.
Yeah, that does make sense. What are you expecting him to do?
He's from God, right? So anything. Right? I care about this family. They're running out of wine. This is an important celebration for our community. He can do it. I'm sure he can.
Thank you. Open expectation. I'm curious, are any of the servants here? Any of the servants that filled those stone water jars? Yeah, I see one. Hello, hello.
Well, hello.
I'm curious, what is your emotional walkthrough of the day? Can you walk us through some of your emotions as you experienced this wedding?
Well, I was in need of some kind of income, so I was approached to participate and serve the food, wine, and I started to notice, oh, the wine's starting to run out. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And having worked other weddings, I know that can cause some conflict. People like their wine.
They do, indeed. And I know you were filling these stone jars with water. What was the logic for you? Why were you asked to do that?
Well, we're told to do what we're supposed to do, this. And having understood, that's my job. But I was kind of going, what are we going to do with all this water? Are we going to, like, you know, bathe somebody, or, you know, what's the deal? So I wasn't quite sure, but, you know, cheerfully, we went and got the water, made sure the jugs were the proper jugs to hold the water. So we did what we were told.
Yeah. Thank you. I see that we have 6 of these stone jars before us. And if you can make sure you put the slide on the scripture. Is there any of these water jars that can speak to us? Oh, here's one. Water jar right here. Someone said that you've been waiting for this. Maybe. Hello, water jar.
Hello. No one ever talks to me.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if my question will make sense for you, but what would you say is your life purpose as this kind of water jar?
Yeah, I mean, everybody visits me at the start of events because they have to, like, clean up from the world, and I'm really good at cleaning people up.
Impressive.
But then they kind of ditch me after that.
Okay, yeah. So how do you feel when they visit you and ditch you? How do you feel about fulfilling that brief purpose for that short time?
Well, you know, my mom Jug told me that, like, we really serve an important purpose, even if we don't get to do a lot. And so I try to stand really tall and make sure, you know, that all of the water, like, I don't let any dirt in. And I know that it's an important job, especially for the Jews really believe that this needs to happen mm-hmm. regularly. So I'm kind of proud of it, even if it's a simple job.
Okay. And, you know, this is another kind of meta question. Is it what is put into you that is clean, or what comes out of you that's clean? What is the Ooh. Cleansing process? How does that work?
That's above my pay grade. I don't really know.
That is fair. Thank you. Is there another stone jar? Maybe a sibling that wants to talk to us? Okay.
Yeah, so I was just, you know, chilling at this wedding, sort of empty because all the other jars were being used to, like, clean people up and get drunken out of. And so I was a bit lonely. And then this new guy walks in. I heard his name was Jesus. and he has all this crew, and he tells these servants to fill me up with water. And I was a bit confused because all these other jugs already have water. Mm. And we're, like, in the middle of a wedding here. So why do we need that? And then, like, this weird thing happens, and suddenly I'm full of wine, which is really weird, I tell you, because I've never been full of wine. I may be a bit underage for that.
I can see. I can see. And how much wine is it exactly? Because you're, like, you're not the smallest of the jars I've ever seen.
Yeah, so I was pretty full of that, so I had quite a bit of wine in there. So, yeah, weird experience.
Thank you. I'm curious if any of the disciples are here. I'd love to talk to some disciples about your experience. I think I see a very eager disciple, about the same age, right here. Hello, disciple.
Hello.
I have a question for you, a specific question.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an odd one. Mm-hmm. So after you saw this miracle, you believed in Jesus. Why were you following Jesus before?
Well, first of all, I don't know why. I guess everybody else was. I don't know what's up with all this religious mumbo jumbo. But then when he turned all the water into wine, I was like, let's all get drunk. So it was a miracle. I thought he was the god of wine. Mm. We're calling him the god of wine, I guess. My kid got very drunk that day. I'm a bad parent. But,
and
yeah.
The disciple. Thank you. It does seem to be quite a bit of wine. Is there another disciple that can talk to us about your experience? Oh, here's one. Hello, disciple.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, you haven't been following Jesus for very long. This is sort of like the first big thing that he's done. I'm curious, what do you expect Jesus to do now, since this is like number one?
This is new to me too, so just following him, amazing things happen, and I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
And I want my friends and I want my families to be part of that. Hmm. And so seeing these different things happen, it's exciting, and it's just like showing my faith, you know? It's just, I just want to be around him.
Yeah. I can imagine that it's like a galvanizing or really energizing thing. You know, you have a unique perspective because you got to see this whole miracle happen. And most of the people at this party, they haven't experienced Jesus like this. What do you feel having that knowledge and that direct experience that others may not have?
You know, I just want to share. I just want to share because, you know, Jesus has shown me the way, and I just want to be part of it and share it with anyone who can to be part of that as well. And it's a unique opportunity that I have for me and my family.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you all. We're actually going to end our role play, and so give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you as well for all those who are running mics and finding people. I have some reflection questions, and I'll leave a little bit of a longer time for us to reflect. They're relatively simple. So we engaged a whole scripture. You saw it. You read it. You voiced different things in it. What was something about this text that this method of scripture engagement revealed to you or caused you to consider with fresh eyes or perspective? It can be something about yourself, about Jesus, about community. Mm-hmm. I'll give us just a moment to reflect on that, and then I'll invite you to turn to some of the people beside you and share that.